This is When Spirit Calls, and you on your journey are in the right place. This show is about magic, miracles, and meaning shared through stories, interviews, and channeled messages. We have so much to share about who you are and your divine mission here on the earth. Let's get to it. When Spirit Calls is right now. I am excited to introduce you to our featured guest today, Jennifer Scott LeBlanc. Jennifer is a natural healer, a gifted intuitive, and teacher. She is passionate about helping others release emotions, physical pain, and heal in a way that promotes personal and spiritual growth. Her individualized approach gives each client a personalized experience where she provides insight and guidance regarding their journey in healing. Clients often say that her calm, welcoming vibe puts them at ease immediately, and they report feeling lighter, happier, restored, and inspired after a session. As a Reiki teacher, Jennifer often shares tips to help manage anxiety, establish self-care routines, and maintain balance long after a session. Her practice includes Reiki healing, chakra balancing, Gua Sha, cupping, shiatsu, TCM acupressure, EEM, and yoga. Please join me in welcoming our guest today, Jennifer. Hello, everyone. So happy to be back with you on another edition of When Spirit Calls. We are diving into some fun stuff today with our guest, Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. I'm excited to be here.
I am so excited that you're here. And, you know, you and I got to meet fairly recently within this last year because you host the most amazing events, these wellness events that you've been doing. And I just absolutely loved everything about you and the work that was being done. So I was so excited that you agreed to come on this podcast because I think you're doing such incredible work in the world. And I didn't even know what shiatsu was.
So yes.
We'll get to that later, folks. Don't worry. But for now, Jennifer, will you tell us about your beautiful adventure in becoming the woman you are today? When and how did Spirit call you to the work that you're doing? And so would you give us a little bit of a backstory?
Might have been a little dramatic.
Hey, we're okay with that here. We're okay with
that. So in 2009, my husband and I, my sister, my four children, were in a head-on collision. So, whoa. Yes. So it was basically a bonk to the head, right? Come on, you gotta. And apparently I have to do it for my kids and other people, not for me. But I think a lot of times it goes that way, right? Because we're programmed to be givers and not about taking care of ourselves. So in the process, and probably about 2010, April, I had my mom and I and one of my aunts decided to take a Reiki class. I had no idea what I was signing up for. Absolutely no idea. I was just like, what is this? But at the time, my kids were still having nightmares from our car accident.
Okay, so there was some trauma attached. Can I just fill in a little bit of a gap for the audience? Because like they want to make sure everyone was actually okay from that accident. So
everybody
survived.
Was okay. Everybody survived. It was a head-on collision on a highway. So we were going 120.
Whoa.
Yes. So there are other aspects to it that are kind of neat. And looking back at it now, I'm going to say it's cool. Like, I know it sounds awful, but there are aspects of it that are fascinating.
It is fascinating to me because my history was in EMS. So I would be the ambulance coming with those accidents. And when we had head-on collisions, many of them were fatal.
Yes.
Many, many, many of them. So the fact that all of you survived going that speed.
Yes.
On a highway is like, to me, like my mind is like, what? Everyone survived? Like, I'm struggling to actually wrap my head around that. So I felt like it was important for me to bring that to the surface because that in itself is a miracle to me.
Yeah, and it was. It was. Little teary. Yeah. It was. So by April, I took that Reiki level one. And I've always had the connection, but not the words to describe the connection.
Ah.
Like I couldn't articulate it. I had no idea. So the courses that I took started giving me words, started giving me the knowledge of actually what it was, right?
Wow.
And not really having any education on it.
You were an energy healer basically your whole life, but didn't really know it. Like you knew that there was something, you knew that there was connection, but you didn't know it.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And I couldn't articulate it, right?
Yeah.
We're not given the training, any type of training for that.
No.
Right.
Exactly.
There's lots of programming, but the knowledge to do what you want with it isn't there, and the wording and all of that. So my response was I just did what the course told me to do.
Okay.
So I gave my kids a little Reiki set up on the kitchen table on a sleeping bag.
And wow.
You know, the training is you're just connecting and you are just the conduit.
Yeah.
And the intention is for the person receiving, right? So you have no control over how it's going to be received. So it's either received or it's not received. So my kids that were having nightmares were 10, 12, 14, and 17.
Wow. Okay.
So all four of them weren't doing great with this. And my husband and I actually didn't sleep in the same bed because we were going from kid to kid.
And
ironically, my mother gave our kids big Christmas bells that year. And those were the bells hanging on our headboards.
Wow.
So they'd ring those bells and we'd go. So we were just alternating beds, basically. So after that Reiki level one, on a sleeping bag, on my kitchen table, one treatment from me, and there were no more nightmares.
Whoa. Ooh, I got goosebumps.
I was like, what is going on? What is this? My husband and I were like, what? Because we were just like waiting for the bells to ring, right?
Wow.
And nothing. The kids slept. And I was like, all right, what's happening? I'm signing up again. So I just kept going. I just kept going with anything that sparked interest to me. Mm-hmm. So I probably could say hundreds of certifications. Right. From that point on, I've got this, I'm going. So it's evolved and it's changed. I have my own practice. I have my own business. I teach, I treat, and I hopefully am inspiring people to find their way.
Yeah. I think this is so beautiful, you know, and I want to remind our audience that you don't need to have a head-on collision or a near-death experience to choose the path, but...
Yes, listen better than I did.
Right? Like, and I think that's the thing. But like you said, we're so programmed and so conditioned and so distracted that it is so easy for us to miss the intuition. It's so easy for us to miss the pull or the call of divine. And so sometimes we have a head-on collision as a wake-up call of like, hey, wait a second. I think that there's more here. And I love that you listened. I love that you leaned in and you were curious about it. So you have your Reiki, you have Shiatsu, which is a form of massage. What other modalities are in there that you love to utilize?
So I have reflexology. I teach yoga. I teach Qigong. Like, there's just a little bit in there. Like, there's a lot going on. All of them is just another puzzle piece, right?
Yes.
To complete the picture for me.
Yeah.
Because it's very specific for what works with myself, with immediate family even. And then within my clinic.
Yes. I love that you have so many tools in your toolbox, because I think one of the challenges a lot of people have is they go to a practitioner who does one thing And then there's all these other dominoes that also need to be looked at that don't often get looked at. And then they say, well, I did all this treatment. How come it's not working? And it's oftentimes because we haven't looked at things quite holistically. And so
yes.
I see that you have this very holistic practice where you can pull from any one of those toolboxes depending on what that person needs. So it sounds to me like in a lot of ways you do a customized approach that like no session is the same.
Scary.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we all fit under different needs and different ways in which our bodies can heal. So I love that you have that. So, okay, Jennifer. So now we've come full circle. You've recovered, your family's well and alive and everything is good. What are the things? What are the lessons? What are the golden nuggets that you learned through that journey and that experience that you would love for people to know that would make their lives better, easier, healthier, whatever?
So I've got two big ones. One is self-nurture. And I'm not calling it, don't get me wrong, it's not pampering. It's not going to a spa. It's not getting your nails done. It's not getting your hair done. Yes, those are lovely.
Yeah.
But nurturing is very close to our heart space, right? Like think of nurture as a mother breastfeeding her baby. So those actions of nurturing yourself is so important. So important. If you don't have that energy, you have nothing to give away. You have nothing for anybody else to take care of, right?
Yeah.
You'll burn out. You just
fall. Totally.
And you hit the wall and you're done. And you're going to bang your head against the wall.
You know, I have done this so many times in my life where I would like go, go, go. And then I hit the proverbial wall, right? It was like this crash and burn kind of energy. I think a lot of us live in that, right? Like a lot of us live in that fight or flight, right? Mm-hmm. And so like, what if we don't know what that means to self-nurture? What are some examples? I mean, you said not the spa, but like, what are some of the things that you do to self-nurture?
I walk in nature. I live in the country, so it's a gift. I go walk through canola fields. We have a creek by close by. So listening to the birds, really connecting to the trees, the grass.
Love that. That's huge for me too.
Any type of nature. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's free.
This is the thing. I think that it wasn't very long ago I saw a post that went out that said, here are the things you need to stay healthy. And it was water, sun, outdoors. It was like all of the things that are free and available to us. And yet so many of us forget that that's where a lot of our nourishment comes from. Right.
Yes.
And so it's such an invitation for us to allow for us to access all of those wonderful, wonderful free offerings available from God, from Creator. Yeah.
Well, and there is actually a lot of other free stuff that you can get onto YouTube.
Yes.
Like if you're looking for a class to nurture yourself, you can do yoga. It's online. It's free.
Yeah.
You can you can find a Qigong class online free. What you need to do is find it. What works for you.
Yeah.
Right? Like what works for me may not work for you. Right?
That's it. Yeah.
But you have to be important enough to make the step to make time for yourself.
The time for ourselves. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think, we have both men and women that listen to this podcast, but I think for the parents out there, that time for yourself sometimes feels a little elusive. But, you know, one of the techniques that I used to have when the kids were little is I would go and shut myself in the bathroom and I would just sit on the floor and I would write or I would just take a few breaths. Like sometimes it was only 3 minutes until I got mommed, but I created the time. And I think that's so important as parents to create the time, the space for you. And I know it's so easy to say, well, I have no time, Well, you might get up a little bit earlier, or you might stay up a little later to give yourself the time, or you might call in a babysitter and ask for some help to create the time.
What?
Ask for help? What? Right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it is a really important conversation because I think so many are trying to pour from empty cups. And many have forgotten, well, how do I even fill my cup? Like, what does that mean to me? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And nobody has time. So it's not about taking time. It's about making time.
Making time.
Just make time because and if you're not going to do it for yourself, do it for your kids. Do it for the people you are serving.
Yeah.
Because if you can't serve them anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're out of luck.
Right? They are. Right. There's nothing left to give. So I love that this is, you know, a priority. And I think it's important that it becomes a priority for all of us. Somewhere along the way, we were taught and programmed and conditioned to believe that we had to become self-sacrificial. And the martyr energy, right? And so, you know, I think about, and this isn't to bring this into a religious conversation necessarily, but I was raised Catholic. And so, you know, we talked about Jesus, and Jesus is still an active part of my spiritual path. And, you know, you think about the ultimate martyr being Jesus, right? Bearing the cross and, you know, being crucified for us so that we didn't have to sacrifice ourselves. Right? But yet, instead, we said, oh, no, I better sacrifice like Jesus did, even though the whole premise of that process was so that we could be free to just experience this God-given life that we have. So, you know, for those of you listening that are like, oh, my God, yeah, I keep doing this, or I have trouble and I can't nurture myself, really want to invite you to make it a priority. And we can't say that strongly enough. Yeah. Okay. What's the other one? Is that fun feeling complete, Jennifer?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So what's the other key bit of information that you wish you would have known or you learned?
My number two is acceptance. It is huge for me. Accepting them for where they're at, being there for them for where they're at, and being approachable with that acceptance, right? Not everybody is in the same place.
Yeah.
And that isn't was that huge. That made a huge difference in my life. Huge.
You know, I love this conversation around acceptance. We could probably do a whole podcast just around acceptance. And a big part of it for me was the self-acceptance, accepting myself as I am, because I was such an achiever. So I was like, perfection, I have to be the best, or I have to be really good at this, or, you know, and if I wasn't, then I would only have love for the parts of myself that were pretty and nice and good. And those parts weren't so good, it would be like, oh, I don't like that about myself. You know, we push away. Yeah. And I think that a big part of this process for us is loving acceptance of all of our parts, the shadows, the lights, all of it, right? So what do you do to help yourself with practicing acceptance? Is there a process, or is it just having an awareness that, like, you know what? I'm accepting that person where they're at, even though I would do things differently, right? Or whatever. Is there anything that you want to add to that?
Well, part of it is taking away the expectations.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
And taking away expectations of what you think it should be, what society, what culture, what all of it thinks it should be. It's it's not my life. Why am I trying to plan it out?
I love the idea of falling away from the expectations. You know, it's like, okay, I'm not going to be attached to any particular outcome, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be attached to how I think this person needs to show up, or how this event needs to go, or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like we come into total acceptance of all things.
And being in the moment of it, like we often live in the future of it or
the past.
Past of it, but none of it has anything to do with the moment that we're in, right?
You're right. I mean, there only is right now, after all, isn't there?
Yep.
And so when we can just accept whatever it is that's showing up. And this is tied to as well, the experiences that we don't love too, isn't it, Jennifer? Right? Like, you know, it's like we have to be willing, or there's an invitation, I should say, to be willing to just lovingly accept what is. Did you ever read Byron Katie's book? Do you follow Byron Katie?
No.
Okay, Byron Katie, I'm going to just throw this out to the audience, has a wonderful book called Loving What Is. And the Loving What Is process really helps us to come into deeper acceptance for self and for others and for experiences. And this is what you're really talking about. You're talking about accepting things the way they are, because to resist is to suffer. And I'm going
to
tell you.
And it's hard work to resist it all. Like, it's way harder.
Way harder. It is exhausting. Anyone listening out there that's feeling like they're resisting what is, it's exhausting, isn't it? Right? It is so exhausting. And we don't even realize it's so exhausting until we accept and realize, oh my God, it's so much easier just to accept what it is, even though I might think it's not the best, even though it might not be the way I wanted it to go. That acceptance. Huge, right? It is. In the acceptance also, folks, you receive more value. If we're so busy resisting what is, so busy resisting what, not only do we leak a lot of energy, right? Not only is that exhausting, but when we're resisting, we're blocking ourselves from receiving the actual value of the experience, right? And so we can't take the lesson in learning. Once we accept what is, then all of a sudden it opens up that portal of like, oh, there's a lesson here, and there's this here, and there's an insight here. And then we receive more. Mm-hmm. So we cannot stress this acceptance piece enough, right?
It is. It is a big one. Those are like the two that really, really turned and gave me more peace in life.
Wow. Yeah.
And being able to live and be joyful in the moment. Yeah. Right. I have no control over it. The only thing I have control over is my response.
Yeah.
And you know what? Here it is. Sometimes it's freaking funny.
Yeah, it can be. I love that you've simplified this so much, Jennifer, because really what you've done is, you said, okay, in my experience, these were the two key components that changed everything. My self-nurturing, my ability to take care of myself, and my willing to accept all that is. And folks, it can be that simple. And I think that's a reminder for all of us, because oftentimes it's like we want to overcomplicate it, you know? We're right so good at overcomplicating, right? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Amazing. Jennifer, is there anything else that's on your heart that you feel compelled to share? I know we're getting already to our time. It just has flown by together. But is there anything else that maybe a quote or something else that is showing up for you right now that you feel you need to share?
So it kind of goes along with the self-nurture part of it. My whole outlook on like energy, life, all of it is where the mind goes, energy flows, and blood and tissue follow.
Oh.
So when we are in, did you know blood and tissue follow?
I didn't know that one. I love that.
Yes. So there's so many, like the emotions that we hold within our body can create huge trauma. And it's been evident in the last weeks that it's shown up quite a bit. And there are things that are out of our control that, you know, if we obsess on them or if we focus on those things, it can cause illness. It can cause types of death within the body physically. Yeah. It can go into our mind and create other things besides physical trauma. And this is where the book can come in, right? But it is really self-nurturing can be also stress management, right?
Right. Yeah.
So managing what you allow in to make your body toxic.
Oh, yes. And not just like food wise, but you're talking thoughts, you're talking emotion, you're talking all the things that we might pick
all
up.
Of it has a chemical reaction within the body.
Well, yes. And this is fascinating to me. I mean, we could have a whole other podcast on this because, you know, I look at the fear mongering in our social media, you know, oh, the world is coming to an end or like whatever that might be. And so we have been thrown or catapulted into this fear plague, I call it. Right.
Yes.
So if we let our mind play in that narrative and play in that story, like you said, where your mind goes, energy flows and blood and tissue follow. And so we wonder why we're having chronic illness epidemics. And it is all tied back to what we're feeding ourselves emotionally, energetically, and not.
Yes. Not and what we're telling ourselves.
And what we're, the stories we're telling ourselves. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. About ourselves. Like the low vibrations of shame, guilt, grief, fear. All of those are stagnant emotions that in sitting in the body, stagnation is disease. So it's not good. Not a place to be.
Yeah.
So nurturing yourself to stay out of that and creating
new
for
source.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you brought this to the surface for us because we can master our minds, everybody. You have power over your thoughts. Not every thought that comes into your mind is true. And I want to invite you to challenge those thoughts a lot more and see if you can shift those thoughts to more positive thoughts so that your body can be healthier, more resilient, and all of those wonderful things. But if you're struggling, you need some help, you can go and see Jennifer. So this is where you're coming in. And so can you tell us about what you've got as your offers, what you've got available? I know you've got a beautiful retreat coming up in the fall. And so would you just tell us about that?
So I have two scheduled retreats in the fall, October 4th and November 30th. They are the Beaumont Wellness Retreat. I bring in different modalities. We have body room. We have a mind room. So body, we work through maybe some yoga, qigong, sound bath. Mind room is about intellectually, maybe we need nutrition. Maybe we need some inspirational speakers. Bringing it together as a community, it is such a special, special retreat. It is very close to my heart. And I love every moment of it. And the women that come in to present are absolutely priceless, amazing women that have inspired me to keep going. So we just do.
It's amazing. I had the privilege of coming in the spring and I absolutely loved it. So thank you for creating the space for us to come together. Now, if we want to come to you for services, Jennifer, how can we find you?
So yourbalance.net is my website. I have so many things that you could sign up for, or you can come see me personally. Many, many classes going on. I teach acu-yoga online in the fall. That's a combination of doing acupressure, a little bit of yoga, and then a meditation to close. So that's nice because you don't have to go anywhere. I have a chakra class that I teach. It's an 8 class. It goes through, we do the work of every chakra.
Awesome.
A lot of us know about it and talk about it and teach it even, but never step into it and actually do the work for those spaces within the body.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah. Wonderful.
I do teach the Reiki classes as well. So 1, 2, 3, and 4. And I also teach the Shiatsu program. So the Shiatsu program is a big one.
Yeah. I promised everyone you would kind of explain Shiatsu for those that have never heard of it before. Could you just give us a quick overview?
Sure. So the Shiatsu I teach is a combination of Zen Japanese and traditional Chinese acupressure. So what it looks at the body as an ecosystem. Our organs are the oceans and the lakes. And the channels that run through them are the rivers and streams.
Okay.
So all the organs are lumped into elements. All the elements coordinate with our earth and our ecosystem, all creating harmony. So if there's stagnation in a lake, there's going to be stagnation within the rivers and streams, right?
Yeah.
So the organs tell a story. We do a reading on the organs, and it tells the story of what's going on in the body.
Wow.
So
then we go from there. Putting pressure on the body in certain points to open up the floodgates, so to speak.
So if you're familiar with acupuncture, it's all the same points, except the treatment is manually touched.
Yes.
Mostly every single point in the body, every single time you hit the table.
Wow. Amazing. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for explaining that. Yes.
So I know. It actually feels, I'll just let you know how it feels. It feels like chiro, massage, and physio all put together.
Yes.
Ooh, a little bit of that. Then, yes.
I love that. That's a wonderful way for us to wrap our minds around what that experience might be like. Oh, yeah. Jennifer, this has been so great. We are pretty much at the end, and I know we're going to have those links in the show notes so you can connect with Jennifer after that. Anything else, any final words, anything we missed, Jennifer, before we go?
No, I love you.
I love you too. Thank you so much. What a fun way to end. And we love all of you. Thank you so much for being here, Jennifer. Thank you so much for listening. For all of you that are tuning in to this episode, please explore Jennifer. Please lean in if you are feeling the pull, as you know. And until next time, be well. Can't wait to be with you on another episode of When Spirit Calls. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Jennifer. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
So happy you could join us today, and we hope that you found comfort and inspiration with wherever you are at right now. If you feel you received a gift in today's message, please pass that gift along to a loved one by sharing this episode with them. To continue this conversation, please join me at rosehope.ca, and when you do, be sure to access your free gift by signing up for the When Spirit Calls newsletter. I'm looking forward to connecting with you again soon.